Blog Talk Radio.
Car. This is the tornado. What's up?
We're coming at you with another live edition of the Fight Themes Unlimited combat sports show, otherwise known as Fight Talk Unlimited, and whatever the hell else you want to call it. Sometimes I don't know. Tonight we're gonna have Keisha Morrissey on, and if you don't know about her, she's actually a big boxing presence down there in New York. Don't let her fool you. She knows her stuff. And Mosley was in some real great shape and showing some real flashy power and speed and everything. She was, that was the last time she was on the show. She was talking about how he was going to surprise some people. And he did at that time, but not for as long as I thought he would. But anyway, I'm dying to talk to her about that. We're going to have her on around 9 o'clock. And other than that, we have a whole lot of boxing to talk about. I don't know if you know this, Tony, but the Squid has already beaten you to the punch. He's already defeated you in prediction for the whole freaking fight there with Juan Manuel Marquez and Juan Diaz, the fucking Squid at Mandalay Bay.
You're telling me that somebody named the Squid beat me to anything?
No, an actual Squid. He's already beaten you to the prediction.
Oh, so what did they do, like, throw a squid against a wall or something?
Have you not seen the squid that predicted the World Cup outcome? Did you see that squid?
No, I didn't. No, I did not. The only squid I see is, I call it calamari.
Yeah. Well, there's a squid at Mandalay Bay. I'm not sure if this is the infamous squid who picked Germany to win the World Cup. But apparently there's a predicting squid out there.
Oh, nice.
They brought him into action for the fight here this weekend. Giant octopus, I guess they're calling it, which is squid, for all you people who don't know. Octopus, squid, tomato, tomato.
So what is the squid picking? Then I'll tell you. Let's see what the squid says, and then I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Who is the squid picking? Like, who are you picking? It's who's the squid picking? That's my headline. That's my creative headline of the week. Who's the squid picking? Well, he's picking Marquez, believe it or not. He's going with the guy who won the first one. Surprise.
Well, and I'll tell you why Marquez, I still think, is the better pick here. You got, Marquez is older. Every year he fights, you know, every birthday that he passes, just like Father Time catches up to all of us, even me, he gets a little older. Now, last year, you know, Mayweather pretty much handled him, you know, over 12 rounds, but who hasn't been able to handle it over 12 rounds? That's one thing. And, Mayweather beat him just about, but he knows it just about every round, too. And I didn't know he would kill Juan Diaz. And that's why I'm going with Marquez here. Marquez won the first fight. Diaz looked great, like, the first three rounds. He was younger, he was stronger, he was faster, he was more aggressive. But that's the thing is, Marquez is smarter. Marquez come in, fire all of his cannons, and then Marquez started beating him to the punch and using body shots. And in Diaz's fight since that, his, robbery win over Malignaggi and then his rematch loss, he just doesn't look like he has the same spark he had 5-6 years ago. And I think he's going to start fast again. Marquez is a slow starter, but by the middle rounds, you'll see the tide shift. And if Marquez doesn't stop him this time, it'll be a decision. But I'm thinking Marquez, once again, I'm going to go with him late or to win via unanimous decision.
Wow. So you say, wow, that's interesting. And if Marquez loses, are you going to say he didn't drink enough urine?
You know what, that's very possible. I heard he's trying to market his sports drinks. Now, you know what, now, Rich, you would do money for Fighters Unlimited?
I call it piss and vinegar.
Yeah. Do you want to make his website?
Have I seen his website? No.
No. I said, you want to make money for your website, Fight News Unlimited?
Oh, sure. I always do.
Okay, good. So do I. Now, but I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to put up your sponsorship with Brando and Brondo and cocaine.
Yeah.
The look of the past. You got to get the Marquez energy drink. That's the look of the future.
Well, maybe they can just cross over the whole Brando brand. I mean, they stopped selling the Brondo now, so... maybe they can remarket it.
Remarket
it, piss.
You're fine.
Anyway, that's kind of a reflection on the
drink of champions.
Of Brondo. I still think I have a can somewhere around.
Oh, I still got some downstairs. I still got some cocaine somewhere else. Now, here's one for you, Rich. Rich, have you ever seen one of the true cinematic classics, Billy Madison?
Billy Madison, of course.
Okay, great movie. I'm gonna. If you remember late in the movie when they're having like a big academic, you know, decathlon, and I think they were doing like calculus or something on the blackboard, and the bad guy, he's whipping through his, you know, question or whatever it is, his problem that he has to figure out, and then Billy, he writes like three lines trying to figure it out, and then he writes, I think the guy's name was Eric. He's like, Eric drinks his own pee, but. For one, Marquez, that wouldn't be an insult now, would it?
No. Nope.
Juan drinks his own pee, he'd be like, yes, I do. We'd be like, see. See, I told you that'd be controversial tonight.
Yeah. But no ice either. Yeah, he doesn't need to fucking wait for it to cool off.
Yeah, it's just very warm, you know, it's good. Oh my God, the bad guy, when it's getting cold, put the ice cubes in it.
Anyway, let's change the subject, I guess. We have some other fights coming up other than that one, by the way. That's not the only action in town. Just check out what else we got going on here. I almost bought a ticket to the UFC event there in Boston. I guess it's going to be, what is it, 119? It's 119. And I got outbid in the last 3 minutes. Somebody bought the ticket for $102, and the cheapest ticket you can find online is like $158 officially. So I got out eBayed.
What was that? Was that eBay or StubHub or somewhere else?
eBay. Somebody.
Yeah, this one's over my guys. like outbid you at the last minute. I just want to beat the shit out of him for doing that.
Well, I kind of didn't want to win it because I wanted to wait and see what would happen, see what other deals would pop up. It was kind of a crappy seat anyway. The guy was giving away two autographed 8x10s of people in the UFC as a bonus. So, like, yeah, these seats must suck. Anyway, we have some big stuff going on down in your neck of the woods tomorrow night.
Very big stuff.
On GoFight Live, too. I just put up a post on this. This is the freshest post in the blog. So all you mofos out there listening better go over there and, like, click on that big poster at the bottom and order this thing. So you can make a buck. Every order is a buck. What do you do? But I suppose it'll add up over time if a lot of people order. Anyway, Derek Ennis versus Gabriel Rosado. And it's for the USBA light middleweight title. I put it on by Peltz Boxing Promotions out there at the arena in Philadelphia. And Ennis is 21-2 with 13 knockouts, 1 draw. Rosado is 18-4 with 8 knockouts, 1 knockout.
And you know, usually began on this fight. I know both fighters. Obviously, I don't know them well, but I know both guys. I've seen both guys fight. I really would like to go to this fight tomorrow night. It's going to be a little tough for me because anybody that knows anybody from Philadelphia, ask them about every Friday night during the summer when everybody and their frickin' brother is headed down the shore. Everybody, and now the one advantage is that's going to make tomorrow night a little less horrible is the fact that the Phillies are playing an away game. Last Friday night, and I was going down to South Philly, not far from the arena, and I was leaving my job in Montgomeryville. Now, if a normal person was driving, that is, on a normal night, a 40-minute commute, maybe 50 minutes at worst. We left Montgomeryville, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, at 5 o'clock. Now, granted, the guy that was driving was an idiot. He goes in the opposite direction so we can cut out one toll road and save a whole of 60 cents. So he cuts out the one toll road, gets us up through Plymouth Meeting, which is another suburb on the western side of the city, and then he gets us in a parking lot on a highway. And he's talking and joking when I'm like, you know why we're sitting here? Because you're in the lane to merge onto the wrong way you don't want to go. Why don't you get in the left? While he's talking about the Simpsons and Family Guy, so about 20 cars get past us. It took us 2 hours to get from one suburb to get to where we needed to go. Over 2 hours, I should say. And I was a little pissed off. I used foul language, which I know for everybody is a shock. And I'm like, really, I don't know why you're mad. I'm like, because you're a fucking idiot. That's why. So that's the problem. Is tomorrow night, I cannot get out of work until at least 5. And I'd probably be on the phone to my dad. I know he can't get out of work early. So we would probably meet up somewhere in one of these suburbs, whether Harleyville or Montgomeryville, and battle all these retards that kill the 30 feet every weekend is to go down to New Jersey, Atlantic City, Cape May, Ocean City, all that bullshit, and consume massive quantities of alcohol. That I don't have a problem with, consuming massive quantities of alcohol. I do that quite often myself. The problem I have is going 100 and some miles to do it. If I want to do it, I'm doing it right in my own fucking backyard. I'll lounge by the pool. I ain't got no sharks coming up at me. I ain't got no, you know, the people bothering me. I ain't battling traffic and paying $22 for a freaking beer.
You ain't got giant Pacific octopuses in the shark.
I don't have octopuses annoying the shit at me. I ain't got no jellyfish stinging me on my nuts. You know, a lot of things I don't have to worry about.
Did you hear about that freaking jellyfish up in New Hampshire that stung like 150 people before they killed it?
Yeah, and that's one thing I ain't going to deal with. I mean, hell with them things. I don't like them. So, as I'm babbling here, let me get back to the fight. I got one of my ornery tangents, which Double T, giving her a shout-out right now, Double T, hi, how you doing? Always says you get pissed off when I rant. So, let me get off my rant and back to the fight. I'm still going to try to make to the fights tomorrow night. I'm going to coordinate with my dad all throughout the day, see if we're going to be able to meet up and where we'll meet up, where we'll go to pull this off. So let's talk about the main event here. We got two guys with pretty decent records, and I've seen them both. They're both pretty good fighters. Ennis is he was a former sparring partner of Oscar De La Hoya when De La Hoya was training to fight Floyd Mayweather a couple years ago. So you can tell just by that, he is a quick-handed, shifty, moves well, very, very quick, slick boxer. Rosado, he's more of a, he reminds me a little bit of like a Jake LaMotta type guy. Rosado can box, but he's the type of guy, it's like you look at him the wrong way and he's going to stand toe-to-toe with you. I was there when he lost his first fight just because he got out of his game plan. But overall, he's tough. He's, he's got a good punch. So, the matchup of fighters, Rosado is a bigger, more physical guy. He looks like he's literally about a weight class or two bigger than Ennis. Ennis has the advantage in speed, boxing ability, and defense. Rosado has the advantage in punching power and chin. Rosado, I know he had a stoppage loss to Alfredo Angulo, who also has a knockout win over Harry Yorgi. But other fights, Rosado has taken some punishment and not gone down. Angulo, he could knock out heavyweights, for a guy being 154 pounds. Ennis has been stopped twice. I was at the one fight, and he was dominating, and he stepped right into a left hook, and there he went. He was out. So when you go to chin, you got to give the advantage to Rosado. So what we're going to have to look at here is what kind of fight it evolves into. If it's a boxing match, with the guy with superior speed and superior skill, then you got to lean towards Ennis probably by decision. If it's a fight where the guys are a lot of two-way action back and forth, then you got to lean towards Rosado. He's the bigger puncher, he's the more physical guy, and he's got the better chin. If you put a gun to my head, it's going to be a tough call because I've seen Ennis get hurt and knocked out. I've seen Rosado, lose his game plan and fight the wrong fight. I'd have to honestly go with Ennis. He's a little bit better schooled, a little bit more experienced, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Rosado knock him out. But honestly, I got to go skill right now.
There you have it.
Let the squid pick that one.
So let's move along here. We got a few other ones to mention. We also have some good matchups going on down on ESPN2 tomorrow night in Buffalo Run Casino, Miami, Oklahoma. We'll be there, didn't I? Delvin Rodriguez versus Ashley Theophane is the main event, and somebody's four is going to be a five. Four losses, both of them. They got 25 for Delvin Rodriguez, 25 wins, 14 knockouts, 26 wins, 7 knockouts for Theophane. And Theophane has one tie with Rodriguez's two. That's for no title, but that's at light middleweight. It's going to be looks like the main event, unless the next fight here is the main event. This is another middleweight, the super middleweight fight between Don George, who's undefeated at 20-0, one draw, 17 knockouts, fighting Francisco Sierra, who's 21-3, 20 knockouts. Super middleweight, so that should be a good fight right there. Also on the undercard is 25-1. Andy Lee, it's middleweight, 15 knockouts, fighting James Cook, 11-3 with 8 knockouts, 1 draw.
That Andy Lee's a very good prospect. I had a friend of mine actually fight him over in Ireland, Willie Gibbs, last fight Gibbs had, I guess, really before he retired.
You didn't fight him yourself, so you had a friend of yours fight him?
Yeah, I didn't feel like fighting myself. I didn't feel like getting down to about 160 pounds. So I had a friend of mine go fight him. It was a little bit more convenient. I didn't feel like, cutting any weight. I sent a friend of mine to do it over in Ireland. I had no intention of going there. I'm not Irish. Lee's a good fight. Willie took him, it went back and forth. It was a pretty good fight. Lee finally stopped him at 11. Being trained by Emmanuel Stewart, so that already tells you something right there. Good fighter, but the one thing to say about him, he's not the best defensive fighter out there, and if he fights somebody, you know, with some good pop. I mean, Willie was, you know, past his best days when they fought, and they went tooth and nail. He fights somebody like, you know, upright and the prime, he might have some trouble.
Well, speaking of somebody who might have some trouble, there's a rumor that Ricky Hatton got his boxing license back this week, or at least applied for it. And the other guy is in the news for the same thing, but before we get to that, because I know it's going to piss you off, we have to talk about...
If you're saying what I think you're going to say, yes, it is going to piss me off.
Go ahead. Ricky Hatton here. Ricky Hatton is putting on a fight in, guess where? Minsk, Belarus. You heard right, he's going to Belarus to put on a fight Saturday at the Reactor Club. And it's going to be, that's a pretty interesting card. It's the MAK Promotions Group, it says here on BoxRec, and it's right there, Ricky Hatton, Hatton Promotions, along with a guy named Butler, or a girl, Valery Kaplia.
Well, why would that piss me off?
No, that's not going to piss you off. I'm just saying.
Okay.
The other guy that just applied for a boxing license, is going to piss you off. But this card, I want to mention just the top two fights here. Light middleweight, or light heavyweight, actually, we have an 8-rounder between Muhammad Arifadziu. 14-2 with 8 knockouts, and George Aduashvili. Who is 10-6 with 1 draw, 6 knockouts. And the main event is a middleweight 10-rounder between Siarhei Komitsky, 22-7 with 9 knockouts, and Avtandil Kurtsidi, who's 21-1 with 12 knockouts and 2 draws. Probably never fought outside of Russia. Who said that? Yeah, that's going to be an interesting card there, and Ricky Hatton's promoting it, so... There you go. The guy that's going to piss you off is applying for a license. It's the Margarito character there. He's trying to get a license in California. Turns out they can't have the fight with Pacquiao in Mexico. And there must be some issue where people in the Abu Dhabi area don't like him either, because I heard them being a dog once around for 10 years.
Well, here's one thing, and that isn't what you said, wasn't what I thought you were going to say. But here's something that pisses me off a little bit. And I'm, probably here it is because I'm about to rant again. But just, I'm not going to break off on any tangents on this one. This is going to be strictly all boxing related. Okay, we got two things here. More than two things, though. Let me just go off with two matchups that they're talking about. Okay. One that everybody wanted to see is not going to happen. That's Pacquiao Mayweather. Now, I detailed a couple weeks ago why I think that's not going to happen. That both guys, you know, they don't, the risk is too great for them. Now, the reward is awesome. The reward is fantastic. The reward is similar to what guys like Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns had fighting each other. Or Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, or Roberto Duran, or any of those four guys that were willing to fight each other. Or Ali and Frazier, guys that were willing to step in there and put it all on the line. These two guys are saying, no, the risk is too great. So they're each going to try to point the blame on the other. You know, Pacquiao is going to say, hey, all he wants is a blood testing, and we're not willing to do that. You know, Mayweather is going to come out and say, well, no, we have the blood testing because he takes steroids. With no proof at all, they're making these accusations. So they have this one big bone of contention, and that's what's going to derail the fight. Okay, fine. So how are we going to, make this work? Okay, let's talk about it. Let's put some other interesting matchups out there. Well, here's where my blood starts to boil a little bit. You're not hearing names like Sergio Martinez or, Timothy Bradley or Devin Alexander, some of the guys that are really moving up there, the guys that pose a big-time threat. These are guys that are good fighters. They're Martinez isn't. He has, two losses, but they were, two losses, top-ranked guys. Martinez just beat the middleweight champion of the world. Nobody's mentioning his name. Nobody's mentioning Alexander or Bradley. Now they're saying, well, they might want to match Pacquiao up with a rematch with Miguel Cotto or a fight with Antonio Margarito. And that pisses me off for two reasons. One, Pacquiao just beat Cotto, you know, 10 months ago or 9 months ago. The fight wasn't even freaking competitive. It was, you know, a one-sided massacre. You know, and Cotto took a lot of punishment. What, do they think this one's going to be any more competitive? I don't think so. Or they said, okay, let's put him in there with Margarito. Okay, great. You know, the guy basically got suspended for a year for having an illegal substance found in his gloves, which could have potentially been damaging, you know, severely damaging to his opponents. Who knows how many guys, like guys that he beat like Cotto, guys that he'd, you know, beat earlier in his career, Golden Johnson, any of these guys. Why is, these guys took severe beatings. He potentially put their lives and their livelihood at risk. Why should he be rewarded with a multi-million dollar payday? That's bullshit. Okay, so let me get off these two guys. Well, let me throw another name in there that nobody seems to be talking about. What about Paul Williams? He said he can get down to 147 pounds, or at least 154. Why is he not in the mix? He also seems to, you know, he's not undefeated, but he's, you know, whatever he is, like 30-something and 1, 6'2", southpaw, good fighter. Nobody's mentioning him. We're mentioning about matching up Floyd Mayweather with Ricky Hatton. Well, let's see. Didn't Floyd already destroy Hatton like 2.5 years ago? I don't think Hatton won a round in that fight. You know, wasn't competitive. He knocked him out. And then what did Hatton do in his last fight? Yeah, he did real good. It was a little over a year ago since he fought. Oh, he had that 2-round fight against Manny Pacquiao. He looked great in that fight. You know, he was down 3 times in 2 rounds. He left on the canvas for about 4 minutes. Yeah, you know, that was a great job. Let's reward him with another big fight. Yeah, I got some problems, you know, the way these two guys. Okay, you know, if you don't want to fight each other, fine. You know, make your excuses, aim to be the greatest of all time, whatever. But you know what? Don't bullshit the fans anymore saying, yeah, I want to fight this guy, but let me give you another great fight. Like Bob Arum, don't shove Margarito or Cotto down our throats, you know, just because they're, you know, on your payroll. For Mayweather, don't shove Ricky Hatton down our throats. Come on, that's a joke. By the way, who would train Ricky for that fight? Would it be Floyd Sr.?
I don't know.
Interesting, huh? Ricky
Hatton.
Give us some real guys. Give us the Martinez. Give us the Paul Williams. Give us, the Timothy Bradleys or Devin Alexanders. We got some good fighters out there, you know. Let's, you know, make some interesting fights.
No, they don't want to do that, you know, because they'll have to actually fight. They don't like to do that.
Yeah. You know, I turned to my dad today, you know, I said something funny to him, but I'm going to say this to Keisha, too, when we talk to her tonight, because, you know, she did, predict great things for Shane Mosley in the last year or so, and his fight with Margarito was great, his fight with Shane wasn't so great, or fight with Floyd, I should say, wasn't so great. But look at this. Imagine if in that ring that night, instead of Shane Mosley, was a prime Tommy Hearns. Landed that punch on Mayweather's chin. I don't think Floyd would have won that fight. I don't think he would have got out of the second round.
Probably not.
You know, hey, Floyd's a very talented fighter, and I give him all the credit in the world. He's, you know, he made a believer, you know, when he beat you and he took apart Shane Mosley, but I still don't think he would have been able to step in to the Fab Four of the 1980s and been able to hold his own with the guys like Leonard, Hearns, Duran, and especially Hagler. Hagler was just way too big at 160. But
you know,
the guys like Leonard, Hearns, and Duran.
And, give him credit in some respects, but take it away from him in others. But his style is not near as exciting as anybody in that era who dominated at that time. Yeah, he just doesn't have it. You know, he's got the basics more than anything that he does that just confound people. But beyond that, I mean, he's just so defensive. and a lot of those guys were both offensive and defensive to the best of their abilities, and he's just overpoweringly defensive. Most of his fights, I can't say that for the last fight. The last fight really impressed me. It was one of the first fights where I was willing to give him credit. You know, he didn't really walk backwards at all, really, except for a few moments. You know, he pretty much just kept stalking forward, moving, standing his ground more than any other fight I've seen him in a while. So if that's the new Floyd, I want to see more of it. But, you know, the same old usual Floyd everybody's getting sick of. And they'll still pay. They'll pay to watch him, just like they'll still pay to watch Margarito get his head kicked in by Pacquiao. That's a given. You know, people are going to pay for these fights. But the thing is, what do they do after Floyd and Manny fight? What do they do after that? You know, unless it's a war and it's so close that it comes out being a whisker decision or a tie, and they have to do it again. I mean, what's comes after that? That's what they're worried about. They want to build it and build it and build it until people are literally not just begging for it, but they just got to have it. You know, it's just, there's no other fight to be made. These people are just going to be writing letters and filling out petitions to make it happen. Or either that, or just one of them's going to retire, and you'll never see the fight until that person comes out of retirement again. You know, it'll be that kind of publicity stunt. Who knows? But they're planning. They're planning that. And it's, obviously, there was a breakdown in communication, so it did almost happen this time, probably closer than it almost ever happened. But, you know, there is, like I said, still that lawsuit out there, and I'm sure that's a factor. And I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff that's a factor. And I really think Pacquiao wants to make the fight more than Mayweather.
I think so. I think you're right. I mean,
he's in Vegas, you know? What does he have to lose? Any fight he picks to have in Vegas, he'll make a ton of money. You know, and that's where he likes to be. But I think Pacquiao wants that fight to be like in the Philippines or something.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
To a ground.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But enough about fights that are not happening right now. We got so many that are happening this weekend. We're going to go over to Germany for the best card of the week, I think. We have Sebastian Zibik at middleweight, undefeated at 29-0 with 10 knockouts on the main event, fighting Jorge Sebastian Hyland, who's also undefeated at 16-0 with 8 knockouts. And super middleweight co-main event is 26-1 Dmitry Sardasson. Has 17 knockouts, and he's fighting Corin Ebor, who's 31-4 with 16 knockouts, and that's for the WBA World Super Middleweight title. And the first fight I mentioned is for the interim WBC middleweight title. Then the heavyweight fight, another 12-rounder, three 12-round fights on this card, between Alexander Dmitrenko, 29-1 with 19 knockouts, and Yaroslav Zaharotny. That's a tough one. 14-4 with 12 knockouts, one KO loss. And then we have the guy with one of the coolest names in boxing at super middleweight, Karolaj Balzai, who's 21-2 with 15 knockouts, fighting Aziz Dadi, who is 24-14 with 4 draws. And also, they don't have an opponent for him, but Juan Carlos Gomez at heavyweight is on that card, 47-2 with 36 knockouts at heavyweight over in Germany on Saturday. So check that out. Also, there's a couple of fights worth mentioning in a match in Ghana this weekend, Saturday, 12-round welterweight fight between Joshua Okine, 19-4 with 13 knockouts, one draw, and Muhammad Adulayev, who's 20-3 with 14 knockouts. And also a 12-round light heavyweight fight between Brima Kamoko, 19-0 with 14 knockouts, and Hector Javier Velasco, who's 37-8 with 16 knockouts. And we have one of the most blatant mismatches of the week, the month, the year here, I think. Maybe the decade. Saturday in Mexico, we have Eduardo Lozcano in the main event featherweight fight. He's 20-1 with 9 knockouts, fighting Eric Perez, who's 0-5. And this is for the WBC FECOM Box featherweight title. So watch out. That's going to be incredible. There's another fight in Mexico, different part of Mexico, around the same time. But there's another mismatch on this same card. And Juan Pablo Sanchez, who's 12-8, 7 knockouts, is fighting 1-0 Jesse Lopez at lightweight, 10-rounder. That's her title, the vacant WBC Mundo Hispano lightweight title. So if we get the upset to the millennium here from Eric Perez and Jose Lopez, a guy who's 1-5 and a guy who's 2-0 could be walking around with title belts in Mexico at the end of the night. But we have some interesting fights also on the other side of Mexico that says next to this on United States Fox TV, too. We have Jorge Arce fighting at bantamweight, 54-6 with 41 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting Martin Castillo, 35-3 with 18 knockouts. And some guy, Nong Kwai, Simpife Nong Kwai, is undefeated at 16-0 with 6 knockouts, is fighting Juan Alberto Rosas in the main events. That's the IBF Super Flyweight title on the line in that fight. And then we really have to go to, we have to go all the way down to Panama for the next one. But we get to the big one. Panama. Daniel Edouard, 23-2, fighting Alfonso Mosquera, 19-7. Also,
I never had an interview with him.
Daniel Edouard. Oh, maybe that was that promotional thing he was trying to work out. The Haitian sensation, right?
Yeah.
But,
I mean, we did talk him for all, like, 30 seconds one night.
Yeah, I think he lost us, yeah. He shook us loose. So now he's fighting Alfonso Mosquera. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get in touch with him next week and ask him how he did.
Yeah.
See if he was worthy. We also have Eddie Julio, 11-2 with 10 knockouts, fighting Nicholas Walters at featherweight. He's 14-0 with 11 knockouts for the WBA Fedolatin featherweight title, and Edouard is fighting for the WBA Fedolatin light middleweight title. So this title's all around. So you got a fight? We'll give you a title. Give you a title.
Yeah.
Who are you fighting? Fighting some bum on the street? That's all right. We'll sanction it.
What is even my cheese on title?
That was an actual belt. You didn't make up one.
No, it was. I loved it.
The bum fights belt. Give you that. All right, then we have to go to Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, where the famous, famous Arctic reef, whatever, octopus, crazy animal, picked Marquez to win this thing. The main event, Marquez, 50-5 with 37 knockouts, never been knocked out. One draw, fighting Juan Diaz, 35-3, 17 knockouts, and a one knockout loss. And also on that card, a 12-round middleweight fight for the vacant WBO middleweight title between Daniel Jacobs, undefeated at 20-0 with 17 knockouts, and Dmitry Pirog, who's 16-0 with 13 knockouts. That should definitely be worth watching. Each guy has 3 less knockouts than wins, and no losses. So that's going to be a real clash of titans right there for that title. And then we have Saki Ochika at super middleweight, another 12-round fight. Jean-Paul Mendy, 28-0, 16 knockouts, 1 draw. And because 28-3, 19 knockouts, went 2 draws. And Robert Guerrero back in action, 26-1 with 18 knockouts, fighting Joel Casamayor, 37-22.
Well, I mean, Casamayor is obviously not the fighter that he once was, but he's still, still a southpaw. You know, let's just say he has no problem bending the rules. You know, fighting a little bit dirty, and he's a verbal guy. He's got an awkward style. So, I mean, I could see him giving some problems for Guerrero. Guerrero is a good puncher, but he's just coming back. So, you got to see, what he's really, really got.
Yeah, I would bet on Guerrero. I think he's
I would bet on Guerrero, too, to be honest. I mean, he's still a younger guy. He's still a fresher guy. It's just, you got to understand the big concern is, his focus, really.
Right. Well, that's not even the best of this card. We also have Jorge Linares at lightweight, fighting a 10-rounder against Rocky Juarez. Linares has one loss by KO with 28 wins, 18 by way of knockout. Rocky has 28-6 record with 20 knockouts, one draw. Never been knocked out himself.
Rocky Juarez is a fighter, he's been one of my favorites since, he came out of the 2000 Olympics silver medalist. I guess the biggest downfall for a guy like Rocky is he just doesn't throw enough punches. And I remember when he watched his fights with Guerrero, fights that were close, fights that he could have won. His fight with Chris John, I mean, he took Chris John into a draw and then he lost the rematch. These are fights that, he could have won had he opened up a little bit more and didn't always look for the perfect punch. I mean, Rocky Juarez got a great left hook, great puncher for a guy that's 130 pounds. And he's a guy, he's a real nice, personal guy, classy guy. He's a guy you want to see do well, and you just wish that he could just win that, elusive title. And he just, hasn't fucking getting it done.
Right. Well, that's going to be definitely a good card. That one and the one in Germany. Going to be fighting for the best card of the week, I think. We do have a lot of MMA, including a UFC event this weekend, believe it or not. UFC Live 2 going on from San Diego, California on August 1st, Sunday. John Jones versus Vladimir Machishenko is the main event there. And I don't know if you knew this, but the whole Randy Couture versus James Toney fight that they're talking about.
Well,
now it seems like Randy Couture is keeping his options open because I just put up the story. It seems like more of a gag to me, but it's just kind of funny that it's coming before a big fight for him. And I know he's definitely, unless he's extended his contract since the last time I read about any deal that he made with the UFC, I think he must be getting close to the end of his career. So now there's a story that I just posted on the blog about him running for mayor of Las Vegas.
Hi.
And everybody was saying that they would definitely vote for him, except for the one guy that didn't. And then Randy came walking around the aisle in the store, and I face to face with the guy, and the guy's, can I change my vote? He's like, I absolutely would not vote for Randy Couture. But anyway, if any of you haven't seen, if any of you aren't among the 101,000 people who viewed this funny video on YouTube, since it's been up since January, and you've already heard this, but if you haven't, it's kind of funny. The audio is kind of funny. Here's another job that Randy might be considering if he loses against James Toney.
Did you catch your wife in a full mount with an unsanctioned opponent? Did you set her half on a 3-year weight classes? Have you taken enough of a beating? Are you ready to tap out of your marriage? Then you leave me, Randy Couture, divorce attorney. You found the case, you put your exhibition. I'll save you every dime, even if I have a joke for what you do. Keep your house, you help get rid of your spouse.
Return clients, be sure to ask about our customer loyalty discount. Randy Couture, divorce attorney.
Oh, but yeah, that's another career for him if he chooses. anyway, wrapping up that other card there, UFC 2, we have Yushin Okami versus Mark Munoz, Jake Ellenberger versus John Howard. Our boy John Howard from the Boston area, we'll be watching him, wishing him luck. Also, Takanori Gomi versus Tyson Griffin. Demarcus Johnson versus Matt Riddle, Paul Kelly versus Jacob Folkman, James Irvin versus Igor Pokorjak. Heard of that guy? Brian Stan, your boy, versus Mike Massenzio. Rob Kimmins, that's the name I haven't heard in the UFC in a while, versus Steve Steinbeis, and Darren Elkins versus Charles Oliveira. All around. And then we have the next UFC event before the big one with James Toney. It's going to be the fight there between I've drawn a blank here. Anderson the Spider Silva versus Chael Sonnen is the main event in that one. And I believe that's August 7th, that's next weekend. So two weekends in a row you're going to have UFC, if you like that sort of stuff. If you like that sort of stuff. Also tomorrow night, I'm going to have to miss it, but there's going to be an epic battle over there in Randolph. Cage Titans Fighting Championship. Epic. In Randolph, Massachusetts, right down the street from me pretty much, but I'm going to be just too busy. I got way too much going on. Sorry, Cage Titans. You don't get no show. No show on our website. Maybe next time. Come to New Hampshire. Anyway, we have also a whole bunch of other fights here. We got Pro Kumite going on in Croydon, England. Indestructible Rites of Passage 9 going on in the Mariana Islands. We have Ninth Ring of Japan on the 31st. We have MMA in Australia, New South Wales, ANZ versus USA, and the ex-MMA 2 circuit. We have Chandler, Queensland, Australia, Rise 6th Defiance on Saturday. And over in Mamaman, Manaman, Minnesota, I guess. I don't know how you pronounce that. We got King of the Cage Underground 59. And in Brazil, of course, we got Jungle Fight 21. Always got to have a fight in Brazil. Up in Milford, New Hampshire, we have Triumph 3 Havoc at the Hampshire Dome. And at Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Baton Rouge Civic Center, Stacked USA MMA is on Saturday. MMA Explosion Next Generation Fighter is going on at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Vegas on Saturday. And then we got Rage in the Cage 143 from Phoenix, Arizona. And we will allow illegal aliens on the card now that they've got that injunction. Just kidding. Then, of course, we have that Sunday UFC Live 2 from San Diego and a few events in Tokyo to wrap up the weekend. Actually, in Japan, I should say, not both in Tokyo. We got Club Deep Hanchyoji 2 from the Kyo Plaza Hotel in Tokyo. And then we have Rings the Outsider 13 from the Yokohama Cultural Gymnasium in Yokohama. Looks like next Wednesday they have an event called Sniper over in San Bernardino, California, from King of the Cage. And that rounds out the MMA action for the week. We got 10 minutes to shoot the breeze before we get Keisha on the phone here. So we'll just see what's kicking around. Chat about. If you didn't see it, you could go to knockout.com, KNOQOUT.com, and you can actually not see it, but listen to my interview with the radio guy on that show about the whole science thing. So that's back in the news. We just revamped the website. Discipline.com, of course, still running strong with us as our main sponsor. We go to PrimeAthletics.com. Also, DrinkCocaine.com. Don't snort. Drink. And we have check out FightRadio.info, of course, FightSpaceOnline.com. We have our Ring Girl contest. It's running strong. We got a link on the sidebar now. We changed the sidebar all around. The sponsors up higher. Did a whole bunch of new things. We got a new fancy little email program you can enter in your mailing list stuff into. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh yeah, we have a new adults-only section, Tony. Did you know that?
You have what?
We have a new adults-only section at Fight News Unlimited.
Nice!
I figured, you know, I went and looked online on the top affiliate programs to have that make you the $1 a click. See, you got this into my head, this $1 a click thing. I said, well, wait a second. Tony couldn't be just making this up. There has to be some fact to this rumor. So I looked it up, and it turns out that pornography, of course, is the $1 a click ticket.
I'm sorry.
So,
I don't know, are you guys making any money off that? And I'm like, I don't know. Somewhere you get money for a few cents for every click. And I'm like,
it's supposed to be a dollar for some of the ads. And I don't know how to set it up that way yet, but it's cruising. It's on cruise control right now. We'll see how it does. It's got a nice little disclaimer so that no little kiddies can get in there by accident and look
nice.
At it. Shouldn't. They could get in there by accident, but then we won't blame them. They either couldn't read the disclaimer or they ignored it, so we got nothing to do with it. Anyway, so that's there at unlimitedfightnews.com/freeporn.htm, not HTML. But you should go to the tab Adults Only on the website first. That way you get through the full disclaimer process. And if you lie and say, I'm not 18, but I'm entering anyway, you get thrown back to the blog, so there.
Okay.
But we'll see. If it doesn't work out, you know, give it a couple of months. If it doesn't work out, then we'll need it. But I figure it's just another way to bring traffic in that doesn't really necessarily fit with what kind of traffic we want to be bringing in, but you never know, you know. They could feed us. I always thought that the best follow-up to Girls Gone Wild would be a program I would call Tits and Fists with girls flashing at parties and anywhere else on the beach, wherever, and also footage of street fights and bar brawls. Sell like hotcakes.
Now, you want to talk about something that would sell like hotcakes? Get us into the tornado here. I'm going to step out of the fight news realm. I'm just going to go into a pure entertainment realm. You know what would make a lot of money? And don't you steal my idea because I got a patent already. Ready?
Go for it.
Midget's Gone Wild.
Midget's Gone Wild. I don't know. Some people
might,
I guess.
Come on. You know that would sell. Who wouldn't want to see a bunch of little midgets dancing on poles and shit? Drinking, getting all riled up, and punching people in the kneecaps. Come on, that's some good shit.
That would be funny.
That would be. Of course it would be. I thought of it.
I don't know if it would fit, though, in the actual line of stuff that Girls Gone Wild puts out, because they would want it to be more sexy than funny. I don't know, something about a midget that I just don't find sexy. So,
are you kidding me?
But anyway, let's change the subject. We don't need to be talking about X-rated material all night when we have so much G-rated stuff to talk about. We do have some more news going on, besides the squid. Squid is not the only newsmaker this week. We got a little bit of a promotional battle going on with your boy, Hank Lundy. Have you heard this? Did you see this on my website?
I didn't read the article, but I saw your posting last night on Facebook.
Yeah, they're fighting over the fighter for once. Hank, his publicist, I guess, is different from the publicist from CES. So I got an email early in the day. I think it was yesterday. Correctly. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. And it says, oh, well, Hank's a free agent, a promotional free agent. He's no longer with CES. He's looking for new promoters. And boom, by like 5 hours later, not even, I get another email from Classic Entertainment and Sports and Jimmy Birchfield saying, I don't know what this guy is talking about, but we're still his promoter. So there's a contract dispute, and I don't know, they don't think he's going in the right direction. They think they have it out with his contract, so I haven't heard anything since then, but either it's a publicity stunt and they're doing that on purpose, or, you know, it's real. Who knows? We don't know. But we'll figure it out. If they basically really vouched for him through CES, you know, Jimmy Birchfield said, you know, we're committed to him, we like what he's doing. No, we're not dropping him by any means. We're going to fight for him. So, it's interesting. Promoter fighting for the boxer. And speaking of promoters fighting for their boxers, word is that there will be no cage fighting for that guy that had that little problem with Don King. Why am I drawing a blank tonight on these people? Must be too hot now. Hispanic guy that was going to do the fight in Florida. He's going to fight Dean Thomas. Why can't I think of his name? Don King had to get an injunction to stop him.
Oh, Mayorga.
Mayorga, right. So Mayorga is now coming back to boxing, and he's going to work with Don King. So, okay for him anytime soon. Covered Randy running for president. I mean, Vegas mayor. Wow. I put a lot of stories up today, I guess. I didn't realize how much I put up. We got all the freaking links you could shake a stick at now on our website.
Oh,
boxing, MMA, wrestling, all kinds of stuff going on.
Rich, remember a few weeks ago we were interviewing Joey Abel?
Yes.
Oh, you know he won his fight against Aaron Lyon, the event that lost.
Yep.
Stopping the fourth. But a little tidbit of news that we need to just pick up real quick. Remember I was talking about the fighter that he knocked out that was charged with the murder of a Philadelphia police officer?
Right.
Went to the trial, happened this week. And like I said, the gunman was killed that day in a shootout with police. The other two accomplices that were like, well, the guy that Joey Abel knocked out, LaVon Warner, his defense was, you know, he didn't know what was happening. You know, he was punched drunk from his years boxing. And the other guy, he was trying to pull off. The other guy was so out of control in the court that he actually punched his attorney at one point, and he had to watch most of the trial from another room in like solitary confinement. Well, just to let you know, The jury rendered the decision today. They were both found guilty of first-degree murder, and now they're going to the trial next week with the potential of death penalty.
Sentencing.
Yeah.
Hopefully they pay for this sentence. And we'll see. But thanks for the update there. America's most wanted. Most already captured. Anyway, let's get Keisha Morrissey on the phone. Real blast from the past for us. It's been a while. We've had her on a few times, different shows, different times, different subjects. Same old Keisha, though. She's an incredible boxing mind. She's moving and shaking with a lot of the boxing folk down there in the New York City area. So she knows her stuff, and she talks almost as fast as Yano sometimes.
It's possible.
I think it's a New York thing rather than a...
Yes, good evening.
Keisha, how's it going? This is Rabble Rosbridge.
How's everything?
All right. We also have Tony Pennecal on the line.
Oh, how are you?
Doing fine, yourself?
I'm doing well. Can't complain at all.
All right. Well, what's new in your boxing world? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Me, I've kind of been out of the boxing loop, as you know, I've had some things going on in my life personally, which, so, you know, had to make a few changes. But I've been following up, you know, catching up lately, and I see this Pacquiao Mayweather controversy is still a big deal, and it seems like boxing is really banking on this one for a minute, and it just seems like it's not going to happen. But I find it very interesting. Compared to the Shane fight with Floyd and this one and all the controversy surrounding it. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm kind of excited about Danny Jacobs from New York City here fighting this weekend, I believe, a gentleman by the name of Pigo on a pay-per-view undercard for Marquez Lopez, I believe, or something to that effect. But other than that, right now I'm doing a little bit of making a transition to MMA, so I'm looking forward to going down to the M1 fights next weekend in Atlantic City.
My last guest from New York is doing the same thing. I'm sure you probably run into Ben Yanofsky from time to time down there, right?
Yes, yes.
Doing the same thing. He's going to work with a company called Cage Time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're doing some shows in the New York area or outside of New York, of course, because
yeah, so for me, while boxing's on the downside, I'm going to take advantage of the MMA side and catch up on that quickly.
So what do you think about James Toney coming over to MMA then?
I think it's a great idea. I think for any athlete that has any ability to be multi-talented in the sports industry, take advantage. It's a skill, use it. He was trained by the Thai Bo guy, so he shouldn't have too many problems making a transition. He has a great body frame. You know, his age may be a hindrance for him, but other than that, a couple other boxers have made the transition, and they've done pretty well, a former football player, a couple athletes. So I think overall it would be really good.
I'm hoping Tony doesn't let me down. I know that he is really going off the deep end with some of his commentary, but I think people just don't realize because they're not used to it in MMA that that's just the way he operates. And,
that's what he's always going to be.
But I think it's just going to be interesting because he's really seriously putting it out there that he is doing this to represent boxing. Anybody move it is, and the way he just pretty much just stalked Dana White until he made this happen, he really does take it personal, the things that Dana said about boxers being, you know, not up to snuff and couldn't pack it against the MMA guy. And he got everything he wanted. He got the stupid money that he supposedly asked for, and he also got a very well-matched opponent. I mean, Rene Couture has 10 losses on his record, and he's older than James. So, he's no slouch, of course, but it's not a walkover by any means for Rene either.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, those matchmakers aren't dumb. Sometimes they really know.
Yeah. That'll probably be a problem, the trash talking, because I do find that MMA, the athletes are very humble, you know, at the end of the night. Date or during the daytime or brunch or what have you, they all. Down, you know, because of course the great Eddie Goldman was telling me the knowledge, and then, you know, who's who, and so on and so forth. And then I'm sitting here with him, and everybody's wanting to get interviews with him from all over the world. So it was, you know, really spectacular to see how all these guys kind of all get together and kind of still, you know, stay in touch with one another and, again, sit down for a meal together. When boxing is sort of like, oh, well, it's over, and that's it. And, no, I'm not going to his fight, and I'm not supporting his fight. You know, you don't really see a lot of, unless they're from around your way, you know, you don't really see a lot of boxers going to other fighters' fights, and or unless it's somebody that you're, you know, maybe fighting and up and coming.
Right. Well, that's an interesting dynamic I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, it's very hostile in boxing. You know, not hostile where you're like, but, you know, just like, eh. You never know, but in MMA, it's really, really, you know, it's very peaceful. So, you know, and all the guys brawl, they really fight, you know?
Yes.
And they give great interviews, and they interact, and they take photographs, you know, they're not afraid to talk with nobody. Yeah, it's two different worlds, you know? And then what's the difference between, you know, fighters going from boxing into wrestling? It's all combat sport, too. You know, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I kind of find that funny how nobody will say, oh, this guy's basis is judo, so he has no chance in MMA. But they're so quick to say, oh, he's a boxer, he doesn't have a chance.
Right, it's about your discipline and your focus and your skill and your ability.
And James, I think, is.
Yeah, and then more importantly, your heart. If your heart is not there, it's all of that is out the door.
James, I think, is purposely pissing a lot of people off and making people think that he's ignorant about the sport of MMA. And he's saying things like, you know, wrestling is for girls and that type of stuff to make people think that he's not training in that area, when obviously he is. You know, there's people out and saying that he's had guys tapped out that have, you know, done pretty well in the sport already for themselves. So that's just people he's training with.
Yeah. Well, at least he's trained in the sport. At least he's somewhat trained in the sport. Kimbo Slice came from street fighting into MMA.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's like no discipline at all.
He would have been a good fighter too if it wasn't for his damn knee. And
right.
It was a short reach. That just really screwed him. But once they exposed that knee problem, everybody started kicking it right off the bat. There's nothing you could do that was effective. Learned his game plan, and unfortunately he got into it way too late. I don't think we'll ever see him in a cage again, unless it's for charity or something.
I think he's a bit
ruined his knee, and Dana White made the stupid mistake of going out there on the Ultimate Fighter show and making that a big central point of the whole show that, hey, you know, this guy's got a busted knee. So it kind of spoiled the opportunity for any other organization to pick him up if he didn't make it into the UFC. And it also made his opponents realize that's what to go for every time. But
his body frame is somewhat awkward, but again, I think if he would have had a bit more discipline, in certain areas, and particularly, you know, maybe how to defend that weak area, then he would be successful. But again, that's the pro and con of not being trained and coming from street fighting, where you're successful a couple fights, and then after that, it's all over, you know? So.
You guys at the bus station don't fight like guys in the cage for a reason. But anyway, getting back to boxing, we have a big fight there with Mosley versus Mayweather, and I remember the last time we had you on, you were talking about how Mosley was moving the heavy bag so well, it was like hitting the ceiling. You'd never seen him so powerful. I think that was right before the Margarito fight.
Yes.
And then he clobbered Margarito. And then, of course, Margarito's story came out about the raps. And I'm assuming you're not the New York City chapter president of the Margarito fan club, right?
No. I was just really shocked. That was a fight that I did not see either. I was busy working another project at that time. I was aware of it. It was my son's favorite fighter, so of course I was saddened to hear that he had lost. But that was a fight I had to watch on tape. So, and you know, by knowing that what had happened already, the momentum for me as a fan wasn't there no more. It was more as a professional in the sport where I was very concerned. So, I really have nothing to say about that, but for me, because I liked Margarito before that, and he was winning, and he was doing well, and I think he did great interviews. You know, I thought he was a little shot, so that's where I was a bit surprised. And not shot, but just a little punchy, you know. But that means nothing if you're a great fighter, and if you can defend that. And that's where I just saw such a hero in him, because I was like, wow, he gets in there and really brawl, but he's a little punchy, you know, or a little shocked to me. And of course, he's been around for a long time, you know. So overall, I was just disappointed, you know, that that's how he had to go down, you know, because, again, you know, from being on the journalistic side of it as well, you know, it's like, wow, you know. And then Cotto's a great fighter. He's a great guy, you know, and you don't want to see that happen to him, you know. He doesn't deserve that, so...
Yeah, right, and that's the one thing I was saying earlier. And we, when you first came on tonight, I know you talked about the big fight that most likely is not going to happen. You know, Pacquiao, Mayweather, that's the big fight that everybody talks about. And I said, what really disappoints me about the fight, you know, the hang-ups and the negotiation, is back around, like, 1981, you never would have seen this. Guys like Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, both undefeated at the time, Roberto Duran, Marvin Hagler, they were all itching to fight each other. You know, they were all like,
right,
shoving each other out of the way to get in that ring and fight each other. And I said this,
right,
a few weeks ago on the show. I said, I think, you know, Manny has something to lose, you know, if he loses to Floyd, because he's such a, you know, almost like a god in his home country, like political, and he's like a hero.
I think
Floyd has more to lose, because he's going around now, you know, he's got the 40-0 record, or 41-0, I'm not sure exactly what it is. But he's going to say, I'm the greatest fighter of all time, nobody can beat me, I would have beaten everybody. I personally disagree with that, because the two sugars, not Shane Mosley, but the two better sugars, being Ray Leonard and Ray Robinson, I think would have wiped the floor with them. I mean, I grew up on Ray Leonard. He was like a hero to me when I was a real, 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 real little boy. You know, watching the fights with Duran and Hearns and all that when I was, you know, sitting on my dad's lap at like 4 years old. And I think Mayweather is kind of scared that if he gets in there and he loses, or if Pacquiao even, you know, stops him, he can no longer say, I'm the greatest fighter of all time, and I would have beaten everybody, because you can't say that when you've already been beaten convincingly. So I think they're both trying to save face by not fighting each other, and then pulls a finger at the other guy. And that kind of bothers me a little bit, because real fighters, and I'm going to go back, Ali and Frazier, you know, those guys, they were willing to do whatever they could do to get in that ring to fight each other and prove it in the ring. And I said to Rich earlier when I was talking to my dad tonight, I thought Shane Mosley really had a good chance to beat Floyd Mayweather, but he didn't fight a smart fight. It looked like he was overly hyped up and he burned himself out. But just imagine if that was a prime Tommy Hearns landing that right hand in the second round. I think he could have taken Floyd out right there.
Yeah, but you have to know the skill and you have to know the science, and if that's what Floyd has mastered, and that's what nobody gives Floyd credit for. As a spectator now in the sport, you have to give Floyd credit for being in the boxing game, which is a generational sport for he and his family, so it's in his blood. That's the first. They have mastered the science of boxing. That's why nobody can get in on Floyd. Pacquiao have the same problem. However, if Pacquiao, we wouldn't even be here if he was a real fighter, because you said real fighters, because then he would fight him whether it was a blood test or not. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Pacquiao's side. So real fighters, I'm from Harlem, the street of Harlem. Real fighters fight, I've seen them. I walked in the street of fight break out. That's real fight. So right here, we're talking about the sport, the game of boxing. Floyd is not going to take a fight that's going to hinder his perfect record. And as a performer, an entertainer, as an athlete, as a judge for anything, nobody wants that. So nobody should knock his hustle and his skill set, but knowing the game. And that's how I see it. And forget all the blood testing and all of that. Fight.
Yeah,
fight.
Too.
So,
problem, I
Pacquiao, if he was in a car accident, which he was, I said this to Eddie Goldman many a time, if that boy, God forbid, something happened to him, he had to go to the hospital, he would have to take her immediately. There is no such crap as he can't take her 3 days before. Life or death, you got to do what you got to do. So if you want that cash, you want that money, do it. Make it. It's a mega fight. It's the fight of the year. If he could honestly do it, that's where I'm at with it. I'm not taking anything away from Pacquiao. I've seen him do some incredible things. Style makes a fight. He will not be able to get in there and rock Floyd, because Floyd's just not going to let that happen. So they can say whatever they want to say. I want them to make the fight just to prove that point right there. He won't be able to touch him.
Hmm. Well, so we know who you're picking. But, yeah, I think a lot of people just want to see that fight so bad that I think some of the negotiation and stalling has to do with the fact that, you know, unless it's a real, true war.
We wanted to see Mosley, too, and Mosley, he couldn't do it either. We wanted to see it, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of old school fighters, a lot of, you know, I mean, which I tell you how I go walk through Harlem and ask the guys and stuff, what do you think is going to win? I ask you, you know, to get their opinion on it. A lot of people thought Mosley was going to be Floyd. I was like, yo, it's not happening. So he's the better fighter, and he can do it. He can do it. I'm like, I can't even believe y'all really said that. Because I think that our mindset is that we just want to go with who is our favorite person. We're not looking at this as a skill, and that's what you got to give Floyd. Watch his documentary. This is a boy that did a sit-up from the floor, came straight up. That was like magic. Come on, how many boxers is doing that? Dude, show me some boxers is doing that, and then we'll see better fights. How about that?
Well, he has, some of the most unbelievable resources in the world out there in Vegas.
Yeah. And first and foremost, it's his bloodline. It's his blood.
Right. Now, I was actually very impressed in his last fight, the way he just never seemed to walk backwards. Run like everybody thought he would, and I think, you know, a lot of it had to do with whatever his father said to him before the fight. It seemed like they whispered something to each other, like right at the moment before he touched gloves with his opponent there, and like it was like he told him to fight, not like his last few fights, you know, he wanted to fight, and never took a step back. He just kept stalking Mosley all around the ring, and, you know, that even when he was almost getting knocked out himself, you know, which I think was overblown, he just kept walking right through him and right at him.
best thing that could have happened in the fight, the fact that Shane did rock him. He could have, but Shane is like, you got to train. He should have trained double hard. Shane should have been training like he was 22 years old. And 24/7, he was laying back too much, showing me dinners, lessons, all this other crap. They ain't got nothing to do with boxing. He should have been training day and night.
Yeah.
And then maybe he could have got in there and did a little something. Because it looked like he was a little winded to me. You know, like Shane was there because naturally he has that ability to go all of those rounds. He's done it already. That's a senior fight as well. But he was winded because he couldn't get up in there.
I'll tell you what Shane kind of reminded me of in that fight. After he had that great second round, he looked like he was getting ahead of himself. And as I said earlier, he looked like the person that was in his first amateur fight. And when I was writing my pre-fight report, I predicted Floyd to win a very close decision. I predicted it to be a close, competitive fight. Obviously not what it turned out to be. But I said the one thing Shane did, and part of one of the weaknesses I described, was that I said he has too much sizzle, not enough steak sometimes. If he gets out there and he rolls his hands and he does a lot of feints and a lot of good moves, but it may waste energy, and sometimes it's like you don't get enough work out of it. You know, you're rolling your hands,
right,
making a fight, you're moving, you're back and forth, you're like, you know, it looks like almost like he looks like a Mexican jumping bee, and he's sprung with energy looking for the perfect punch. And I was like, no, I'm like, he's got to relax a little bit.
And I
didn't
know. No power.
Yeah. And you got to the point where it's like, you know, you're wasting all this energy to look for one punch. You know, you're wearing yourself out. And he wasn't looking for this trainer. Najim Richardson, I know him. Najim Richardson, like, when he has a guy like Bernard Hopkins, who's very focused on game playing here, Hopkins does what he has to do. You know, it doesn't make mistakes like that.
Well, the two different fighters, and if you notice, the Mayweather family did speak upon that in the 24/7 series. They spoke about the fact that Nadine is a great trainer. A great trainer for Bernard Hopkins, but how well is he going to do for Shane Mosley? You know, so that was something to think about, too. Strategically, it was great. You know, but Shane is not
new to this game. Right. And I tell you, sometimes a great trainer and a great fighter do not always make a great combination.
But the greatness, I don't see Nazim's greatness being there because he wasn't there for, like, all of Bernard's fights, all of the beginning, right?
Actually, yeah, he was. He was with Bernard from the very beginning. He wasn't, but he wasn't the lead trainer from the beginning. Bowie Fischer was. But look at this. Bernard, who has fought at a high level for so many years, look at the two of his most lackluster performances recently. Freddie Roach is in his corner. Freddie Roach is a great trainer. They don't mesh well. He's had other great trainers and great fighters not mesh well. Some of the guys that trained, I mean, Dale Hoyer had about 1,000 trainers. Some of them, you got nothing out of them. It's just, you know, certain guys respond to certain guys better. I mean, one of the guys that coached me for years was well-known, highly ranked. I couldn't, he and I did not mesh.
I see. Well, actually, what he said was that if you've never been hit before, if you've never been a fighter before, you don't know. So actually it proves to stand true. Because, again, something was missing from Shane's training camp. But he put in a good fight, too. But Floyd, I'm not saying he can't be beat. I'm not saying that at all. They just have to find the right fighter for him. Is that fighter out there right now? Do I see or hear it in what I'm reading and listening to? No. But we can never say never, and I can never... You can't say that it's not coming either, but right now, no. And more importantly, they have to expect the family gangster in strategically making his fight too, so that he can keep his perfect record. And if he decides to retire, George Borges sit off for this league again and be undefeated. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Raheem's a perfect fighter because he doesn't even have to knock anybody out. He just wants to fight. That's the beauty in it. I mean, I like great fights. I either like a fighter where I have to fight, watch him, and then watch him, it's a great fight, and or a fighter that does the KO and just knock him out so I can hurry up and do something else. So, you know, he's a brilliant fighter. He has nothing else to prove at this point. So fighting Pacquiao and getting hurt because this boy is on steroids and have to go out whack, I wouldn't want to do that. Not when I'm a $1 million guy right now.
Yeah.
And if I got to go out like that, then I want to be paid.
There's so much made of, you know, the whole pound for pound debate.
Manuel Lopez is the one that fought before Shane, the Latin guy. How come he wasn't as aggressive when he fought Pacquiao on Floyd Mayweather? Because I thought that was the guy that could have done it, beat Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Lopez. Right. I felt like he was the one that could have probably done it.
Juan Manuel Marquez, I think you're talking about, the guy fighting this weekend.
Right, he fought just before it, right. Moses. He's fighting this weekend, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. He could have beat him.
Just had to drink a little too much urine, right?
He just Well, no, he just couldn't get in there and figure him out. He was a little intimidated. He hasn't been around the sport as long. But, he could have did it. But
so
he wasn't hurt.
In the New York City area that you know of that's really going to start making some moves in their division?
Like I said, I'm kind of off the scene in the New York City area as far as boxing is concerned. I know that Danny Jacobs this weekend. I'm hearing Kid Fire has a fight coming up. Curtis Stevens, there's some controversy going on with him and the Star Boxing fight promoter, Joe LaGuardia, and Stevens' uncle and trainer, Rosier, who's part of a promotional company. There's some controversy about whether or not he's going to fight on the Star Boxing card or if he's going to fight on the Rosier card, which is coming up. So I don't know about that. Stevens is coming off of a loss back in January. So it'd be kind of interesting to see him back on the scene. He's, promoted as a little Iron Mike Tyson-esque. But, I really want to see that in him, you know, because I believe he has the potential to. He just got to get up out of some of the stuff, you know, the business of boxing. And then I think that he could be very successful as well. Like I said, Danny Jacobs is fighting this weekend on the undercard of this fight on HBO Saturday evening. And other than that, you know, nothing hot, you know.
Well, actually, I got a pretty interesting story that you might not have heard. Do you remember a light heavyweight by the name of Reggie Johnson?
Roy G. Johnson, no.
Reggie Johnson. He fought.
Reggie Johnson.
He fought Roy Jones Jr.
Okay, I remember. Yeah, I remember the name.
Well, he's now in Texas and in jail. There, he's been sitting over a year now. On charges of corruption and fraud and organized crime, because he was implicated in some camp fiasco. I guess there was supposed to be a boxing camp that he was supposed to run, and the actual manager of his last fight was the one who was handling all the paperwork, and Reggie was just the name behind it. Well, he couldn't do it in the summer that's, he thought it was either one summer or the other, and he couldn't do it the first summer, so he figured, oh, we'll just do it next summer. And he had no idea that, that either that was in the paperwork that they had to do it the first summer, or something happened where somebody turned on him, and they were investigated for all kinds of other fraud, with some other camps, things going on. And it was all related to Hurricane Rita and Katrina. This boxing camp was supposed to be for displaced victims and all that. So now Reggie's got a $200,000 bail, and, it's tough getting anything out of the DA. I'm trying to write a story about it. And, you know, it's like playing phone tag all day with the DA. Reggie's writing me letters from prison like you wouldn't believe, saying that they told him that he could go home with time served, but he'd have to say he was guilty and he won't do it. So I'm, you know, I'm thinking that he's definitely got a case for saying that if it, at very most, it's a civil case. You know, I haven't seen bulk of the evidence. I'm still trying to work with him and try to get what I need to write a true story, you know, from both sides of it. But it sounds like he's getting screwed one way or another, especially with the bail. I mean, why would you put a guy in there with $200,000 bail and you've frozen all his bank accounts? And he has no chance with these public defenders. They threw him in with one public defender who had 12 credits that he had to take as a judge to keep his judge bench seat. And he couldn't even do that. So he ended up going back to being a public defender. So, I mean, these are the kind of people that are throwing him. And it seems like they're hoping he's at a disadvantage through this whole thing, which doesn't make sense to me. He seems like a guy that's misunderstood in all of this. But I don't know. I don't know if you heard anything about that whole deal.
How long ago did this happen?
He's been in jail a year now, so it was last year, summer of last year when he was arrested, like June 3rd of last year. And every article that was written about it was pretty much just, talking about what the affidavit said. There was no real reporting work, getting any good comments from the DA or Reggie himself or anybody involved with Reggie, but Reggie apparently remembered that I had written about him. I did a big report for fightbeat.com when I first started writing online. And so he wrote me about it. And then I've got literally 20 pages of documentation from him that's all handwritten, you know, right from jail. It feels like I'm communicating with somebody in another dimension or something, the way things take so long to get answers because he's locked behind bars. And he actually is planning to write a book about the whole experience. He's going to call it Harris County Hell, because that's where the prison system is, Harris County, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine, you know, it's also a lot of racial tension going on there. And sounds like every DA down there is white. So I wouldn't doubt that as a factor involved in it. But
where is he originally from?
Houston.
Houston. And about how old is he?
He's in his 40s. He was trying to make a fight with Glenn Johnson. So it would be Johnson and Johnson.
Right.
That kind of fell apart, so he ended up getting...
Yeah, I remember him.
And his tune-up comeback fight, really, there was a title fight. So he came right back and he won a title last year before they arrested him. So it's an interesting story, but, you know, the jury's still out as far as what I know about it. I can't really say one way or the other whether I honestly think he's innocent or guilty, but from the circumstances that I know about at this point, I can tell you that it sounds more like a civil case than a criminal one. And, you know, it should have been like a breach of contract lawsuit instead of this organized crime and grand theft, grand money, whatever they want to call it. But I'm not so familiar with the criminal side of things. I'm more familiar with the civil side of the law, so this one's going to be tough to analyze. But Reggie knows what I need, and just waiting on his answers to some questions. It's primarily, I mean, the affidavits themselves, all they say is, you know, this complaint was filed, and, you know, they don't list anything of any accusations of him spending the money on any personal needs, or they have bank account statements, but they don't show you those with the affidavit. That's all on the seal. I don't know what's going on there, but I think just from his tone, it sounds like he's definitely been misunderstood in this whole process. And if anybody has anything to do with the way things were set up and, you know, how much money was taken off doing very little work, it seems like the guy that did the grant, whole grant writing process, is the one who's at fault, because he's connected to a scam with another camp, so he's the common link. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
That's something I thought maybe you'd be sort of interested in with the other side of what you like to do with community activism and stuff. So there's a company called, not a company, I guess it's an organization called the Houston Area Urban League, or a and all the politics involved, and that's somebody that's the head of that organization who brought the charges against Reggie. So, it's a saga.
Yeah.
Written in paper. And
there's always something going on. And I thought hip hop was bad. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and it's.
So, what are your predictions for this weekend, anybody?
I think Marquez is going to win. I'm going to go with the Squid. The Squid. They picked Marquez, so.
I got to go with Marquez again. In their first fight, Diaz is the younger guy, he's the bigger guy, he's the stronger guy. So he took the fight to Marquez over the first three rounds, but experience and a little bit of toughness, but wanted for the old bet. And in his fight since that, Diaz is just has almost the same. You know, I don't think he deserved the first win over Malinacci, and then he got beaten in the second fight. And, I mean, I see him, he's going to try to come out. He's going to try to box a little smarter this time, but he's still going to try to be the pressure fighter, outlast Marquez, who every year is still getting a little bit older. But in the end, I think Marquez's more precise punching, his experience, is going to lead him probably to either another late stoppage or at least a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be... not the same as the first time, obviously, because Juan is going to be, he's going to know that he can be rope-a-doped at any time. So he's going to fight a more cautious fight, I think. But that's just going to play right into the ring generalship of Marquez. He's seen so many different styles, so many different fighters over the years that he can handle any adaptation of Juan Diaz, I think. And just going to use his basics. Keep moving and keep that jab right in his face. And he'll win on the decision, unanimous decision, and win just about every round, I think. But there'll be no need for a third one, whatever happens, I think.
What do you think about the Super Six championships?
Actually, yeah, that's pretty interesting. A whole idea, and I remember when we were first talking about, the whole idea of, boxing being on the downfall because of MMA, they had a tournament they were talking about that was supposed to be...
Not to get wrestling, too.
Yeah.
MMA came over, and now you got to make a choice. You can't watch all three. You got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so they made this big deal about this tournament that never happened in the heavyweight division back when the MMA was first starting to come out with that whole label of the fastest growing sport in the world. And boxing was thinking, well, we got to do something to stay on our toes. And I think they called it the Super Fighter Tournament or something like that. And it never materialized. But then the prize fighter thing came out in London, that's huge over there in the UK. That's a really big event. I get a lot of news from them, and they're always doing some different weight class now with that. And just any tournament idea like that is a great thing for boxing. Because number one, it forces the best guys to fight each other. And number two, it gives you some kind of a structure to follow along. And it's like the March Madness. There's a whole buzz around the thing now. And it's obviously going to unify some titles, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins this whole deal. But already, just the matchups that we've had because of this, you never see them made otherwise. And it's amazing just to see the different promoters being able to work together. I haven't actually followed it as closely as I'd like to, because I just kind of post stuff without reading it half the time. But it's just some incredible things that have happened because of this. And, all kinds of cards being made all over the world, and fighters that would normally not be fighting each other are fighting. So I think that's the thing that will help boxing, not save boxing, because I don't think that boxing is dying, but I think that will help it stay in the loop with MMA in the United States. And one of the things that we keep talking about, we keep bringing back the old MMA versus boxing debate, and the idea of the martial arts people that are spouting their wisdom about the subject that they continuously miss is that boxing is the established worldwide sport, and there are certain countries and locales in the world that will never tolerate or never appreciate MMA, and they won't want it. You know, they won't want to see it every Saturday or every, you know, every day of the week. It's not that important to their culture. They'd rather see boxers. Part of it has to do with the fact that mixed martial arts at the lower weight classes is just not popular. You know, the WEC is probably the most well-known league that actually shows a lot of the lower weight fighters, and they're not very popular. You know, they have to pretty much put all their shows on for free. So it's interesting to see people talk, to hear people talk about how great MMA is, and then forget the fact that it's only great here in MMA compared to boxing. But around the world, compared to boxing, boxing pound for pound is the better sport for popularity. And it's just established. You know, you think about the history of it. How many years have these agencies been in place to report on boxing and to publicize boxing and to make boxing matches all over the world? And how long have the MMA people been around? Since the 90s? So, hands down, it's just, I think people forget some of the main points of the debate. Boxing wins. Not to say that there's not promise. I mean, MMA, I think it's got some great promise, and we'll see what happens. But if it ever really does become that sport that is better than boxing, popularly, I doubt it's going to happen overnight.
But other than that, pretty quiet on the boxing scene.
Yeah, this whole deal with the Floyd Mayweather-Pacquiao fight had a lot of people trying to say that boxing is broken or boxing is dying again. But, you know, there's going to come another fight, just like the first Juan Diaz versus Marquez fight, and people will start to love it again, you know. It's just bound to happen.
Yeah, you know, everything has a purge, you know, and right now they just have to purge and figure out what they're doing and just get it together, because overall, you know, everything has an up and a down, you know. Even right now, Boston is definitely going to have to restructure, you know. We see Atlantic City going down here, you know, where the state had to take it over, you know. So overall, the economy is bad because the certain industries are dying or having a downfall. So we need them. We need them to stay on top, you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard as well, there's a little bit of betting controversy thrown back into the boxing mix there in Australia with that Briggs fight. Paul Briggs going down in the first round, and it didn't even look like he got hit. And it actually prompted Danny Green to say he wanted to go into MMA and fight Brock Lesnar. It was so bad. But,
remember that fight was a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. I mean,
fight.
I think it should have. I think it should have probably been bigger news, but just kind of got swept under the rug. We need more of a big news about Danny Green saying he wanted to go to MMA than the actual outcome of his last fight. But anyway, you got anything else you wanted to add, or anybody you want to give a shout out to, or anything?
No, you know, I'm just here chilling, mellowing. Getting some things here in the NYC.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you think about the way Mike Tyson keeping out of boxing and talking about now he wants to help sick children? That's the latest word on Mike.
I'd say at this point in time, I have no comment.
All right. Yeah, it's the last guy to beat him.
And of course, I want to say hello to my little champ, as always. He's got him somewhere. They're doing him. And that's it. The Mike Tyson rise. That's how I see it. That's what I want to say about it.
Yeah, actually, the guy that just left beat him, Kevin McBride, tried to do the comeback there. And I've seen him, actually, myself, boxing in the gym up here because he lives in Boston. And I'm right outside of Boston. I trained with Cody Petronelli last year. And I was doing all right until I got my rib broken by the guy who went on to win the, not the Nationals, but the Regionals here in Massachusetts, and the Golden Gloves in the region. He was going to go to Nationals. I don't know if he ever did, but he was training at the Petronelli's gym, and they told me he was green, so they threw me in there with him, and he broke my rib in the second round.
Wow.
He went on to go all the way, and I didn't know while I was in there with him that he was that good. You know, I just thought they threw him in there with me because it would be that guy that they threw me in first with. You know, because they were trying to be cautious with me, and they put me in against a real green guy. But I think this guy had a little more experience, and they wanted to let me know where I was at. And I took it as like, man, I suck if I can't even hack it with this guy. But you know, he was in good shape at the time, and that's half of it. And I wasn't. So you know, I've been trying to keep in pretty decent shape since then. Cut some weight and been running like crazy. And that really motivated me when I found out later on down the line. Because I didn't let the rib stop me. I mean, I kept training, but I just haven't sparred since. So when he went all the way to the Nationals, I said, well, geez, maybe I do have that still. Just because I hacked it with him, I mean, I did get the rib cracked and broken, but I held my own, you know. And the big mistake was I tried to jab with him, and he had reach on me. He was a taller guy. Just had incredible reach. And I was thinking, because my jab's always my best punch when I was a amateur boxer in college, that I could get away with.
Right.
My trainer, who had 47 fights under his belt, tells me to go to the body on him, and I didn't even throw one body shot, you know, that really landed, I think. But I kept trying to jab, and I did get him in the second round with a couple, but it's too little too late.
Right.
Anyway, enough about me. It's been great having you on, and we'll definitely keep in touch and wish you well.
Thanks again. But I will say this, for Mike Tyson, he has the potential, if his mind was there, he has the potential to box again. And though, if he wants to help children learn how to fight, the sport of boxing, I mentioned it to him a couple of weeks ago. Whoopi Goldberg had said the same thing on The View. You know, your ability to now train the next generation, if anything, I don't know if you know, but he was over in the UK opening up a gym there, you know. So, you know, he may not want the responsibility of a gym or having a gym, because I think he's very discouraged by not knowing the business of boxing, you know, as it to be a business. He just knows it from being a professional athlete. So he's discouraged from both sides of it or anything related to boxing. So this is why he's turned into this D-list actor and so on and so forth, you know, doing all these interviews and stuff that's just so non-related to who he is as a prize fighter. So,
well, he claims to be done with violence, period. You know, he just doesn't want anything to do with the sport of fighting or anything to do with it. But, you know, I've seen him show up at UFC events and, you know, schmooze with all those people and stuff like that. But he just, personally, he keeps saying that it's just against his nature now. You know, he's a nice, calm, laid-back guy, and no such thing as fighting on his mind, I guess. You know, so he's trying to claim.
Could never say never. That's a part of being humble, but at the same time, it's just his nature, and that's what he needs to understand. So, obviously, he's being advised wrong, because that's all he knows. So,
it's still,
yeah, I mean, but he's comfortable with his lifestyle as it is. So this is why, again, because he's not into that, because he's into, you know, the acting and the Hollywood lifestyle now. He's comfortable with that. But that's why I said he's discouraged. But the potential, if his mind was there, he could probably be the greatest heavyweight champ again. Because look at the division now, because that's what made me think of it, because you started talking about McBride. I'm saying to myself, wow, look, all of these guys that's on the heavyweight list now, or guys that's on the heavyweight, you know, to look at the rankings, I believe that 3 months of training, Mike could beat at least six of them.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. One year flat, no problem.
The problem I think he faced is that people would expect him to be as good as he always was.
At the end of the day, because he has humbled himself, then it's the other side of, okay, what if I go into the game again, make all this money, and then just my lifestyle would just so drastically change. And like I said, he's comfortable where he is right now with his life.
Right.
So again, because he doesn't know, and because he's just afraid of the spending habits, and so, you know, if he is to become this mega millionaire again, you know, so he just wants to chill and just rather just live humbly, opposed to, you know, so that's where he is at with that. But I say never say never. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You know all that. Never say never.
Yeah, there's going to come a time where he really needs the money. Right.
You know, hey, you know, exhibition fights, you know, he does the wrestling gigs, you know. WWE and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, WWE not constitute, you know, no fighting. But I guess maybe that's changed since he becomes vegan and all of those things as well. So, you never know. But again, it's been so real talking with you. So, and
yeah,
I look forward to doing it again.
It's always good to talk to the Empress of Boxing.
Thank you. Sound like everyone else is gone.
Oh, well, Tony, you still there?
Still here.
Tony.
Oh, okay. You've been so quiet.
Did you?
You guys were going, and I was just putting in little tidbits here and there, just letting you guys rock and roll.
Okay.
We call him the Rain Man of Boxing because if you mention some obscure name, you probably know a fact about that person. He's a boxer.
I love the Rain Man. I love that movie. Love it.
Running Cars, Las Vegas.
Good to know. Good to know.
It's a good name. It's better than some of the other ones I've got.
Good to know. Good to know. All right, guys. It's been real again.
All right. Awesome.
Rich, be in touch.
Definitely.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right, Tony.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure to come hosting with you.
Thanks for filling in.
Chit chatting with you guys.
On last minute notice, too. I know I called you earlier today, so that was cool to get that arranged.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anything for you, Rich.
All right.
Okay. Be in touch. Later.
So there's Keisha Morris. We've got 8 minutes left to shoot the breeze, Tony. Whatever you want to talk about, you can rant all you want. All you. I'm not, just not even going to say another word for the rest of the show, right?
Thanks. Okay. It's on me. It's all tornado. First of all, you know how to spell it, right? TORNADL. Yeah. So let's see. Well, what can I talk about? We got about 6-7 minutes, you know, still on the show. I could sit and talk. But I'm not going to sing a song. Yeah, there is one thing I did want to bring up. We were talking about it earlier. And is my half retarded. I just forget random shit anymore. I don't forget, like, boxing obscure facts. Like, you know, a friend of mine was bringing up a question the other day. Name some world champions that lost their pro debut.
World champions.
Yep. Well, Bernard Hopkins, for one, he lost a 4-round decision at light heavyweight before he moved down to middleweight, where he spent about the next 16 or so years. So that was kind of interesting. And I think the other one was Alexis Arguello, and he got knocked out in like the first round.
Uh-oh.
And I think the other one they said may have been Henry Armstrong. I'll have to look that one up. This is what I got a guy. I got to get him on some time with us. You'll love him. He's a Philadelphia guy. I get a lot of his articles. George Hansen.
Right.
And, I mean, he knows knows way too much about the sport. I mean, like I said, if I get down to the show tomorrow night, I'm sure I get to see him. You know, he'll be down there. I mean, you see the guy, he just hangs out at the gym. You know, he's boxing the amateurs, lives at the gym. You would never get to talk to him. You know, you just see him just hanging out down there. But he's a, you know, Harvard-educated attorney. But he is, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But the man knows his fights. And, like, I've just seen him down there, and he and I will just debate. You know, we'll pick a topic, and we'll just go. And so he's always fun. I'd love to get him on here sometime. But, I mean, he knew me when I was just starting out.
Yeah, there was a female boxer that he had a story about.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Breaking up here?
No, I'm not breaking up anywhere. Are you breaking up? I am breaking up. So, you know, it's like some nights, like after the day that I had today, you know, some days you get bad days. And it's always good to come on here and, you know, just kick back. There's no real pressure on our show. That's the one thing I like about doing it, you know. There's some shows that I do a lot of prep for. I really bust my ass. Put together a lot of questions. There are other ones I do on the fly. Like I said, I didn't know until out at the store tonight when you first called me. And I was joking around with the one girl that works in there. I was like, oh man, if he doesn't open up with a song, you're gonna get to be live on the air. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I do a talk show every Thursday night. I didn't know that much. You've known me for over a year now. I've been here on Thursdays with a friend in my ear. She's like, I didn't mean that, whatever. But I was, you know, joking around. I'm like, I'm gonna get you on the air. I don't want to be on the air. I'm like, okay. But, you know, it was a lot of laughs. But that's one thing. I had a bad day. Like, from literally the moment I woke up, sucked. I had one asshole cut me off in traffic, you know, getting to work. As soon as I got to work, it was just a disaster. I was like, you know, thankfully there was no management there. I might have got escorted out today because I was just, fuck that.
I was
going to
get out of the bank today.
Yeah, it was just a bad day. It's fun, like, you know, it was just an ugly day, and that's why it's fun to come home, and then you know, just to sit back a little bit. Vinny came to visit me a little bit ago, and to talk to people all about the fight game, you know, let's talk boxing, you know, let's have a little bit of fun here, and I hope, you know, some of the people that, you know, get to listen to us. I know some people do listen to us on Archive. I talked to some of them. And I just hope they sit down there and say, you know, I enjoy, you know, listening to this. I think we have a pretty good banter going back and forth. You know, we give each other shit and we laugh a lot and we, you know, bust on each other. But it's all in good fun. And, you know, I mean, that's why I've been here for almost 3 years now.
Yeah, we keep back to the well.
Well, that's why, like I said, I want to get you know, some of the guys that we had on from earlier. Some of the guys that I previously signed up. Simon Carr for one. You know, talk about some of the things he's got going on. He doesn't really do much in terms of fighting anymore, but you know, he's still heavily involved in the sport.
Yeah, anybody
getting fine, let's go. Uh-oh.
We're out of time. Well, that's been a great show.
What is it?
What a great guest. And I'm breaking up and echoing. So you're going to have to sign us out for the next
week. Well, until next week, Tornado is signing out on us. And we'll talk again.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. All right. Well, it's your boy Tornado. I'm out. I'll see you next week.
Adios.